County Board Supervisors will convene and we'll go to County Council for the closed session report out.
We went into closed session at 8:35. We came out at 9:06, and there is no reportable action.
Thank you. I'm going to go to presentations from the public, and I'll remind the public, those online, and very few people in the audience here, that this is a special meeting of the Board of Supervisors, and comments are limited to those times on those items on the agenda. And when addressing the board, please state your name for the record prior to providing your comments, and please address the board as a whole through the chair. Comments to individual supervisors or staff are not permitted.
Seen none online.
In chambers,
if you'd like to be
present, yes, please.
Sorry, please hold. We do have one online.
Okay.
So give me just a second.
Who is that? Chris Marshall.
Well, we, Nick Joslin, if you could unmute, it is your turn to make a public comment.
Good morning. Hi, I'm Joslin, now Shasta, California.
Good morning.
We cannot overstate. I'm going to read some of the letter from CDF&W to the Water Board. Just to draw attention to the issue out in the Shasta River, we cannot overstate the relevance of the Big Springs Complex.
Excuse me, sir. I guess you didn't hear me announce. This is a special board meeting, and the comments from the public are only those that are on our agenda today. That topic is not on our agenda today.
Let me pull up your agenda real quick.
Council has a...
I was just going to reiterate what you're saying. If this gentleman wants to speak off topic, he's free to do so at the next board meeting, which is a regular board meeting, July 6th.
I've seen no other comments online.
All right. Okay. CAL FIRE, regarding the plethora of fire topics that are on this agenda.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, honorable members of the board. Thank you for allowing me to address you this morning. I just wanted to provide you with some information on the current situation of fires within the county. I'll start with the largest fire in the county, the Lava Fire. And the Lava Fire is approximately 13,300 acres, showing 20% containment. That fire is now in unified command between CAL FIRE and the Shasta Trinity National Forest to help bring additional resources and bring up containment to protect lives and property. Yesterday, the winds surfaced on that fire and pushed that fire hard towards Highway 97 with support of air tankers and additional ground crews that were ordered by us. We made every effort to hold that fire from crossing Highway 97, but due to the conditions that were present, spot fires, we were unable to contain it on that side. The fire jumped Highway 97 and pushed it down towards Mount Shasta Vista. Similar path of the Hotline Fire back in 2006 that we are familiar with. Sheriff LaRue and Director Cernone were very proactive in identifying areas that needed evacuation warnings and also changes those rapidly when they needed to orders. So most of the folks in the area received that information and were directed to leave prior to that occurring. So our hope is that there is very little loss of property and especially, more importantly, life. We'll know more in the next coming hours once we are able to assess the area. But the fire pushed hard through that that community and that area. We are in a pretty aggressive firefight in that area as well, using ground and air resources, and we're able to commit quite a few dozers That area is very conducive for dozer lines. So we are making progress, but it is going to be quite a fight still. The conditions are predicted to be similar to yesterday, with a little bit lighter winds and a little bit lower temperatures, a little bit higher humidity, but not much. So we will carry on and try to continue to increase containment and protect the people in that area. A couple other incidents. Yesterday we had a new fire start in the area of Tennant. It was a vehicle fire that went into the vegetation. That fire grew rapidly, actually created a sustained crown fire in the timber, and grew to this morning, they're estimating between 1,200 and 1,500 acres with about 5% containment. The Klamath National Forest committed several resources, aircraft and ground, so did CAL FIRE, committed several dozers and hand crews in an effort to contain that fire. They're making good progress on that incident. The Klamath is bringing in a team to help manage that incident and suppress that fire. Yesterday we also experienced a new start up near the KRCE area. It's called the Beswick Fire. That fire got to about 30 acres, and it has a line around it, and so we were successful in containing that fire. Crews will be continuing to mop that fire up today to provide full containment and control. There was also a lightning fire, probably a holdover fire from the previous lightning up Eddy Creek down in the Shasta Trinity National Forest, and the Shasta Trinity National Forest committed crews to smoke jumpers to that incident, and they do have that incident lined as well at about 1/10 of an acre, so successful on that front. As you can see, we've been extremely active, extremely busy, ordering resources and bringing additional resources, ground and air, into the county to assist us with containing these fires. But we continue to have new starts. We had a new start this morning in Scott Valley, and I do not have an update on that one just yet, but I'm sure and confident my folks are going to be able to contain that shortly. So I'm open to any questions you might have.
Anticipated fire behavior today.
It is going to be similar. Some of the areas that we were able to make progress in was due to the fact that some of these areas have had a fire history in the past, and the fire behavior did significantly change in those areas. That was experienced on the Lava Fire and on the Tennant Fire. Once the smoke and or shadow hit those fires and the humidity rose and the temperatures dropped, there was a definite change in the fire behavior. So as the morning moves into the afternoon, we're going to see an active fire once again, but it will not have the same push from the wind as it did before. The issue is that it will be more erratic then.
Could you maybe touch on the resources available? Are we getting enough? Do we have enough? How that's looking in the future?
We are placing orders to augment our resources, and we are receiving those resource orders. They are being filled. Our North Region Assistant Region Chief was up yesterday, and our North Region Operations Chief was up yesterday. They were evaluating our situation, and they were supplementing all kinds of resources to our area so that we would be successful. I think that we are receiving the resources that we need right now. Unfortunately, there's a shortage of hand crews throughout the state of California, and we are experiencing that and trying to utilize those resources in the best location where they're needed the most.
So in the environment that we're in, with everything transpiring, are our local volunteers, are they on standby right now?
Absolutely. They are not only on standby, we augmented them yesterday when the fire was pushing towards Highway 97 with the anticipation that we may not be able to hold it on the south side of the highway, which we were not able to. And those resources from all over the county came in to assist us with that firefight in the communities of Mount Shasta Vista.
Thank you.
Air support.
Air support, yes. A lot of rotor wing aircraft are assigned to the lava incident. I do not have an exact number for you. We also augmented with fixed wing aircraft yesterday, even though it was difficult for those aircraft because of the wind and the turbulence. We were successful in getting that aircraft too high to point 97 to apply retardant. We just were not successful in holding it there. So we are receiving additional aircraft. CAL FIRE is receiving another helicopter to bring into the area to ensure that we can stop any new starts in initial attack phase.
And water supply?
Water supply is a concern. There is experiencing drought, and so water is at a premium. And so the aircraft, specifically the helicopters, are having to travel a little further to actually gain access to that water. So water is always critical for our operations, and there are certain limitations where we can and can't fly the aircraft when they have a bucket full of water, specifically across highways. But Highway 97 was shut down yesterday, so and that was a huge impact to a lot of the travelers traveling through that. But it was done for safety's sake, and it was successful in keeping. We experienced several vehicle accidents during the Hotline fire because that fire impacted the highway so significantly.
And is there any other limitations to flight times or how they attack that? I mean, if it's a fire and it's an emergency, I assume it's all hands on deck, but correct. Is there protocol that prohibits that?
The protocol is really just designed for aircraft safety, so there's a lot of coordination that occurs. There are limitations with the pilot hours that they can fly, but all of those things are taken consideration and how they are utilized and rotated in and out for fuel and for rest. And to ensure that we're meeting those policies. We want to make sure that those aircraft
are... And is it different from the federal side versus the state side, or is it the same?
They are nearly identical. It is an interagency program that we utilize both federal and state resources on our different fires, so they're very similar.
And with unified command that you, I think, have now, if I'm not mistaken, what does that do for CAL FIRE with their... assistance on us?
Really what it amounts to is that we are working together more closely than we have in the past. And if we were working independently, we could we may be successful in our separate areas, but it's more important to work together and pool our resources because resources are limited. So Unified Command allows us to do that, and both agencies have a say in how those resources are utilized. Yeah, there is a proliferation of drones in the country, and they are a valuable resource for folks to use. But it is important to remind folks that when drones are flown in our emergency airspace that we are utilizing, it puts our people at risk, our aircraft at risk, and basically halts all of our air operations. So when the public flies a drone, we cannot fly. And so it's very important that the folks do not fly drones within our restricted airspace because it's going to impact our operations. And it could create life safety hazards. And it's going to prevent us from doing our job. So, I do ask the public, thank you for bringing that up, that they do not fly in our area.
Has that been put out on Code Red countywide?
I don't believe it has on Code Red. We have done public... PSAs, public announcements, and we actually have a sign that's sitting at the CAL FIRE Weed Station, a large sign that we intended to put up near Weed Airport, but we just haven't gotten around to it just yet. It just came in this last week.
Is it something that you can do on Code Red? I mean, they've put announcements like that. I mean, it's kind of an emergency issue if they can't fly the aircraft.
It would definitely be an emergency, and we haven't ran into the issue as far as I'm aware. We have not been informed that the public has flown on this particular incident, but if it does occur, we would definitely take action.
So we're hearing that it has occurred, and that flights have been stopped because of drugs.
Oh, I will follow up on that.
Day before yesterday.
Sunday.
Okay. I was going to say, I've seen the drone alert on Siskiyou Scanner and Siskiyou Alerts Facebook pages.
Okay.
So I think it is getting out that way. I don't know how else. I had a couple questions. Yesterday I was watching the air tankers work, and the heavy tankers looked like they were either returning to Redding or Sacramento. Do you know where they're cycling out of?
They were, some of the larger air tankers were returning to McClellan.
Okay. Right.
The other air tankers were refueling and reloading in Redding.
Okay. Did you say there's a reason they're not using Medford?
That I cannot answer. That was prior to Unified Command, so. It is an option.
Just cognizant of cycle time,
yeah.
You know.
Yes. Yeah, definitely an option that we can use that.
Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, Phil, I haven't been looking at the national incidents of late, but it's odd to me that we're already at PL4. That's odd to me. And then we're at PL3, I think, in the North Zone GAC. Unless I've got bumped up in the last 24 hours. You know, you know what's going on nationally and why we're...
Maybe you could explain what... Yeah, tell us.
Phil can explain it.
I'll do my best.
Project level.
At the end briefing, just the other day, for the team that came in to assist in management of the lava incident, Anthony Massavero from the U.S. Forest Service shed a little bit of light on that PL4 level. The resources are stretched thin throughout the nation at this point in time. And his statement was that he's never seen it this thin this early in the season. And what that's telling me is that there are struggles and challenges with hiring personnel within our different agencies, and that those resources are at a premium because of the conditions that are out there and present right now. We're in extreme drought conditions here in our area, our county alone, and it's actually the prediction for large fire potentials is being increased throughout the North State significantly from the last output from predictive services. So we are going to continue to have fires that are burning like it's August in June.
I'm sorry for trying to lead you through that. I mean, so as a politician, I can say it in clear text, I think, in that the Forest Service hiring procedures this year have been a disaster, from all indication I have. And it's not only a lack of applicants, but it's horrendously complex hiring practices that have to be fixed. And there are critical holes in leadership all over. The retirees I work with track this, you know, with a microscope, and I have not seen this many holes in leadership positions in the agency in the 40 years I've been keeping track of that. It's a shame. I'm not even sure how many Type 1 and Type 2 teams are ready to go this year, or even how many Type 1 crews are up and certified at this point. And I knew that was part of the PL4 thing, but I wanted to make sure I hadn't missed something as far as a national incident somewhere that was drawing resources, because it hasn't been on my radar screen yet.
So. Yeah.
Anyway, appreciate that, Bill.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Anything else? Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, next is 6A, Montchasta Fire Protection District.
And if we have anyone from the Mount Shasta Fire Protection District, could you please press *9 to raise your hand?
And a gentleman I spoke to didn't think he would be would be stopping in.
Okay. And that's fine. Right? So Elizabeth Nielsen, project coordinator, and understandably, I think that the representatives from the Mount Shasta Fire Protection District are busy, and so I can handle this item. This item is discussion, direction, and possible action regarding a request to from the Mount Shasta Fire Protection District to withdraw its funds from the Siskiyou County Treasury effective July 1st, 2021. Or possibly a later date. That later date is not needed. From the email traffic I saw back and forth, the Mount Shasta Fire Protection District was able to set up their accounts to be able to withdraw their funds. And so that is their request, and the resolution from the Mount Shasta Fire Protection District making that request is included in the agenda item as well. I'm happy to take any questions.
I want to know what it means to do this. Whoever can answer that.
So I will answer to the best of my best of my ability. So they
is there some kind of legal change with doing that as far as how we would work with them in the future?
I think as far as
is this just an auditing?
This is with the auditors and treasurer's department, and they're asking to withdraw their funds from the county treasury and handle their funds separate from the grant, independently separate from the county. So that is what this request is specifically for.
Correct. Angela Davis, County Administrator, and that is correct. Basically, in the most simplistic terms, is that we currently manage and administer their checking savings account, and so they are taking that back as ownership under their under the district, being able to make all decisions and handle their funding accordingly. So.
Similar to service districts, are they still then subject to auditor checkpoints?
Correct.
From the county?
Correct.
So, just a quick comment on this. With regard to the tax revenue that they receive from the district, does it still pass through the tax collector's office? Or does it go directly to them?
That I would have to verify, because I believe it would go directly to the district as opposed to a pass-through through the treasury. But I would need to verify that.
It's on the tax bill. So
right.
That's
right, yeah. Right.
So that's, I mean, I know that with regard to First Five, when they did this, the county still receives the funding and then
correct.
Passes out to First Five in their independent account, and they operate that independently. And I assume that's what will happen here as well.
That's
my understanding, yeah, okay. But I can confirm that
okay.
For sure.
Okay, thank you.
You know, it's their money and they want to do what they want. You know, I think my only concern would be, and it's not something that's going to hold me up here, is that, you know, we can't find someone to be on that board, Supervisor Cops out. And you know, it's, you know, hey, it's going to be very narrow for that constituency to track what's going on. So having said that, I'll make the recommended motion.
Second.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
And Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Thank you.
Moving right along, man. Item 7-8, County Council.
Yes, this is the consideration by the board of a resolution approving the option of purchase and purchase agreement having to do with the No Place Like Home program and the sale or potential sale of a Foothill property that the county owns in connection with it. And so as the documentation establishes, if the board decides to approve this, it would provide the developers an option to purchase the Foothill property for $159,000, which is $1,000 less than market value, although I would also note that the option of purchase itself is $8,000, and that's non-refundable and not credited toward the purchase price. So if this ultimately goes through, the amount received will be slightly in excess of the market value. Not from the sale, which I want to be clear, because we are selling for less than market value. But collectively, the amount of money received by the county will be slightly more than if we were to simply put on the market, at least theoretically.
Questions? Supervisor Chris, do you have any questions?
No questions.
Well, if there's no questions, I'll make the recommended motion.
I have a question before we get there. You got a motion.
Second one, discussion then.
So, even though this is on the purchase of this property, it, the loan agreement that in the pass through the county will be for this, is this the place to start to ask those questions or not?
You can ask the questions, certainly relevant, whether we'll have the answers at this point.
Okay.
I don't know because the loan agreements haven't drawn up yet.
Okay, so I guess my question is, as the county enters into this, it's almost contingent on the purchaser getting funding to build the project, correct? If the county is the pass-through for this loan from the state of California, the 3% loan, is that 3% county funding, or does that 3% go to the state? Interest?
It's my... It's my understanding that the funding coming back needs to go and be reinvested in affordable housing.
So even the 3%?
Sarah Collard, Health and Human Services.
Even the interest? Is that correct?
I'll defer to Elizabeth Hall on that question, but that's my understanding.
Hi, this is Elizabeth, your special counsel for housing issues. Yes. So the loan repayments would come to the city, the funds would stay with the county, including the interest, and they would be earmarked for future affordable housing projects.
And how does that encumber the county with regard to processing for future projects? What's the admin fee, or what's the county's offset for handling that?
Well, you can charge your project costs against your affordable housing fund. So to the extent that you have a staff person, for example, who's spending 15% of their time on affordable housing projects, you could charge those costs against your affordable housing fund to run your program. So the money would come in, the repayment would come in, including the interest, it would go into a designated affordable housing fund. And then to the extent that you have staff costs associated with administering those funds for a future project, you would be able to pay those costs out of the funds that you have. Does that answer your question?
Somewhat. I mean, I guess what I'm concerned about is I'm concerned about another bureaucracy being in, you know, like a CBG thing where we're encumbered and yet we're not getting costs offset for what county staff will be put through.
So you won't get new funding, but as you get repaid on your loan, in theory, right, as you've loaned them this money and you're charging them 3% interest, they make payments back to the county at some point and you put those into a fund, a specific fund earmarked for affordable housing purposes. If you have, say, someone from the Auditor Controller's office who's monitoring the cost of that or monitoring that loan to make sure it's complied with, you can bill that employee's time to the fund where the money is being paid. So you could cover your county costs through the funds you're getting back.
And with regard to how the money is spent future, because this is a 55-year loan, is that correct?
Correct.
So who monitors how the money is expended after we receive it back? Is that state or is that the county again?
It's the county. So you put it into your own affordable housing fund, and then you would use that for future projects that are affordable housing projects. The funds are restricted. If you were to use it to, you know, go off and build a new county hall or something, then you would be subject to challenge by both housing, the State Department of Housing and Community Development, or affordable housing advocates.
And what's the link over the course of the 55 years that keeps that intention intact?
So we would record a covenant against the property when we loan them the money that requires it to, you know, the property to be used for affordable housing purposes. So that's on the, you know, the developer side to ensure, and then when the money comes back to the county, state law requires you to use it for affordable housing purposes. So presumably the county would comply with state law.
And the property, from what I'm reading in at least the documents I have here, is encumbered to be only for this type of development in perpetuity, is that correct?
For the 55 years. So generally, the way these projects work is they're built, they're restricted for 55 years. Somewhere along the way, the developer will need to do improvements, make changes, whatever, or you'll be coming to the end of the affordability covenant period, and then the developer will go out and do a new financing, get additional funds, revamp the place, and it will, and then you record additional covenants for some period of time after that to continue the affordability.
And after 55 years, it's not encumbered any longer? Is it encumbered of the funds that the county received? Are they encumbered after 55 years anymore? Or is that in perpetuity?
Yeah, the funds are always for, unless there's a change in law, obviously, but as currently drafted, the law requires the funds will always continue to roll into an affordable housing project. The restrictions on the property where the funds were originally used, that lasts for 55 years. And then after that, it would no longer be encumbered.
And does the county have staff for this next 55 years to monitor this? We do.
That's not a question I can answer for you.
We do at this point. I can't speak to, you know, beyond my tenure, but we have staff that are monitoring.
Thank you.
No further motion in a second.
Can I just verify, Supervisor Haupt, were you the second?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Okay, Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Kobzeff.
I'm going to tee up my vote, just to frame it, that I get the intent here, but I'm not comfortable with the process and how this is going to roll out. I think I'm very uncomfortable. I've been through CDBG, and this is sounding a lot like that, and it just saps the life out of the county. Even though the intent is good, it costs more than we actually get, so I'm going to no vote.
Okay. Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yes, and I'll just quickly comment that the fact that you want to move forward with it is leaves a lot of sway with me. I would also say that we've received 6 trailers and 5 more grants, and if we don't have a track record, we will never get more funding that we need for affordable housing as an example. Thank you.
Okay, and Supervisor Haupt.
I'm going to say yes.
Okay, so it looks like we have 3 yeses, 1 no, and 1 absent. This was not required to be a 4/5, was it?
No, that
okay.
Passes.
So it carries. Thank you.
All right, so we have 2 urgency items on the agenda, the resolutions, and before I get to those, I want to give you time to give those copies to the board.
Do you want to take a break?
Yeah, we're going to take a break for a couple minutes here.
During the break,